Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
One, two, three, four.
Hello, and welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa virtual service. I am Edward Fluen, the Senior Minister, and I'm so pleased to be able to welcome you to our service, especially if this is your first time joining us. There is more information about our center, our upcoming classes, our support groups, our online prayer, and so much more at our website, newly designed and easy to navigate at www.cslsr.org. And thank you to our regulars. It's so wonderful seeing you log on Zoom and on Facebook. It gives me the sense of being together during these shelter-in-place times. Our theme for the month of August is I clearly see my spiritual growth in action. Part of the action that we are focusing on centers on one of the values we have in our movement, diversity and inclusion. I recently created a video as a spiritual leader for our movement introducing this topic of diversity and inclusion. Here is the video. Hello, I am Edward Fluen. This month, our suggested theme for Centers for Spiritual Living is Inclusion in Action. The content this month is provided by the Centers for Spiritual Living Diversity and Inclusion Commission. Team members include Reverend Michelle Sinegal, Reverend Rafe Ellis, Reverend Sharon Mitchell, Reverend Alex Escudero, Rebecca Hiroaka, practitioner, Reverend Raymond Anderson, Efrain Rios, practitioner, Alvin Seeley, Lynn Daniels, practitioner, Reverend Steph St. Amand, and Reverend Mark Gilbert. Among our shared values at Centers for Spiritual Living are diversity and inclusivity. And these prompt us to value and embrace and celebrate individuals as they express through the differences of gender, ethnicity, culture, history, experience, talent, sexual orientation. And our values guide us to include representatives from all of our constituencies in our leadership, in our sacred services, and in our decision making. Doing so is a worthy practice, and it may not always be comfortable because of our human tendency to seek safety through comfort and familiarity. However, when you and I can be surrounded by differences and at the same time maintain our awareness of oneness and self, that's when we are truly walking the path of science of mind. Indeed, when we know who we are, and our daily practice of dwelling in the divine is strong, we become able to embrace differences not as a threat, but as an outpicturing of the divine, and therefore something to be cherished. Recently, I wrote about Reverend Stephanie Spellers of the Episcopal Church. She describes radical welcoming as the practice of including the gifts and voices of people who have been on the margin. And the outcome of welcoming is that everyone can be transformed by their relationship with each other. Reverend Stephanie describes a situation in which a spiritual community may have an outward sign saying, "You are welcome here," while at the same time, without realizing it, we may carry an inner, invisible sign that says, "Only if you fit in or adjust to us." The radical part of this practice is intentional inclusion, which asks us to carefully examine our intention and make sure it conforms to our values and informs our choices and actions. This month, I'm considering the question, what sign of welcome is radiating from my heart? The content creators give us these calls to action this week. Use mindfulness practices to become the observer of your thoughts. As our founder said, think about what you're thinking about, so that we can recognize such things as bias and find opportunities to practice a more radical inclusion. And then set a personal intention to be inclusive in your actions. I leave you with this affirmation from the content providers. I am one with divine intelligence, empowered by it as a point of creative power. And as such, I claim harmony, acceptance, love for all through inclusion of the diversity that delights my life. My blessings to you. Today's message is brought to us by one of our own members at Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, Olivia Kinsler. Her message is titled Heroes, and it is a tribute to Elijah Cummings and John Lewis. It is time now for us to shift our attention inward to prepare for today's service. So I invite you to take a deep breath in with me, and as you exhale, won't you know with me that you are welcome here.
And know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know. still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know. Be still and know that you are God. Be still and know that be still and know that you are God. Be still and know. Be still and know that we are God. Be still and know that we are. Be still and know that we are God. Be still and know.
Turning our attention to that divine presence, the Holy One, the Creative One, the one life, the one and only power and presence in the universe, that one from which all life flows and to which all life returns. It is spirit, divine, wholeness, intelligence, love, peace, order and balance and beauty and abundant good. And there is nothing outside of it, nothing separate from it, nothing that is separate from this one life. And I know that it is everywhere, and it is the very source and substance of my being and of each and every one of us. All of creation is one with this divine power. And all of creation has at its very core all of the qualities and characteristics of this divine one. Wholeness, peace, love, joy. We are that in our very essence. And so I know for each one of us that we are expressions of this divine presence, and we are opening to a greater awareness of that which we are and a greater ability to express the truth of our being. And I know that this gathering, this service this morning is facilitating this opening. It is inspiring and uplifting each one of us participating to a greater connection to the truth of our being. And I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful for the openings that are taking place. I'm grateful for the deepening of faith that is occurring for each one as we trust life. We trust that one that knows exactly what it is doing through us, through our community, and through the world. And I know that this service brings our sense of unity and connection to a higher level. That we know we are one. We know we are unified as a community and as a world. And we trust that. And we take peace and joy in that. So I give thanks for this unfolding of greater truth. I give thanks for the connection, the joy, and the peace that this connection brings to each of us. And I release this word to that one which always says yes, and I know that it is done and all is truly well. And so it is. Hello, I am Brenda Cobrin, a prayer practitioner at the Center. And here is today's affirmation from our Beyond 2020 Spiritual Vision Book of Affirmations. We are the love and power of spirit made manifest. And so it is.
I was born by the river. just like that river I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know the change is gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. 'Cause I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change is gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. Now I go to the movies and I go downtown. Somebody's out there telling me, don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change is gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. Listen. So now I go to my high brother and I say, somehow he ends up knocking me back, knocking me back down on my knees. Whoa, there are times when I thought I would last for long. Now I think I'm able to carry on. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change is gonna come. I know a change is gonna come.
Olivia Kinsler, and I'm a member and volunteer at the Center for Spiritual Living, Santa Rosa. I'm here today to talk about heroes, civil rights leaders, Elijah Cumming, and John Lewis. What does a hero mean to you? My vision is of a person with integrity, is dignified, passionate, and selfless. But what really distinguishes and sets them apart is a penchant for acting upon their beliefs without fear of reprisals. I'm sure we can all name a few heroes that we look up to and revere. These two icons, Elijah Cummings and John Lewis, have many similarities. Both were born to Southern sharecroppers in the 1940s and 1950s. They led protests in their early youth attended historically black colleges, Howard and Fisk Universities, and came to power as House Representatives and Democrats. They both became respected orators, using their powerful voices to see that the good of justice and equality were set in motion and eventually achieved. They were a formidable force to be reckoned with in Congress. Though they didn't succeed in getting all that they wanted from the House or the Senate, they stood up and made their voices heard loud and clear. And when they died, were honored and lying in state at the Capitol, a first for African Americans. In between their births and deaths, they lived remarkable lives in service to their constituents and to all Americans. Civil rights. Just saying it brings up a host of feelings and remembrances for me and anyone who was living through the struggle. Let's define it first. Civil, relating to ordinary citizens and distinct from military or church matters. Rights, guaranteed equal social opportunities and equal protection under the law. From Frederick Douglass to Julian Bond, from Harriet Tubman to Barack Obama, progress has been made. The question is it enough for all to feel? Are we all equal under the law? Those are questions we still have to ask. Elijah Cummings, Baltimore's civil rights advocate. His first taste of reality and resisting its sting came when he was beaten by a white mob for organizing to demand that a local segregated swimming pool be integrated. He was 11 years old. That early success paved the way for him to continue fighting for equality. Born in Baltimore, he later went to Howard University and earned a degree in political science. After a law degree and practicing law for many years, he was elected to Congress for Maryland's 7th District. His many roles in the House of Representatives covered an array of interests and issues that needed to be addressed. He was the chair of the Congressional Black Caucus, chair of the powerful Committee on Oversight and Government Reform, famously advocating for protecting whistleblowers, and a major figure in the impeachment against Donald Trump. He also proved that he could work across the aisle and help pass the Presidential and Federal Records Act amendment with Republican Daryl Issa. His philosophy: we need to see each other if we are to move forward. Our community and our law enforcement work best when they work together. Congressman Cummings was reelected 11 times. He was popular and seasoned by the time of his last years in office. Known as a passionate speaker, exampled by his classic poetic remarks at the Michael Cohen hearing, it even brought tears to Cohen's eyes. His many speeches at Democratic conventions call for the Dems to buck up, to be inspiring, and get out the vote. In the years before he died, in 2019, from complications of long-standing health challenges, he was a voice for those who would follow him. As early as 2016, at a DNC convention, he declared, "Our party does not just believe, but understands that Black lives matter." He died October 17, 2019, and was the first African-American lawmaker to achieve the honor of lying in state at the nation's capital. though many honors were bestowed on Elijah Cummings, he was a humble, ordinary citizen. We have just lost another hero, John Robert Lewis. He was known as the conscience of Congress, civil rights activist, champion of the disenfranchised, nonviolent fighter for equality and justice. I could go on and on. This icon and powerful voice against violence of any kind was my hero. He had the moral authority to convey his passion for peace and protection for all Americans. His efforts to do the right and just thing, to empower minorities the right to vote, is the ever-shining star of his legacy. Let's speak of his courage. In that area, John Lewis was extraordinary. Beaten and bloody to near death, he continued the nonviolent fight, going to jail 40 times. Amazing. He knew there would be many more times that he'd be beaten by white men. But in his heart, he also knew that once you made up your mind, don't back up. Don't turn back. Born in Troy, Alabama in 1940, he aspired to be a preacher. But he met Rosa Parks and Martin Luther King when he was only 17, thus becoming a dedicated adherent to discipline and philosophy of nonviolence. After attending Fisk University in Nashville, he continued his mission of righting the wrongs of our society and making a bold difference. He gravitated toward a political role where laws are made and things get done. But as a 23-year-old and chairman of SNCC, Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, he became one of the Big Six that organized the March on Washington in 1963. He was allowed to speak and had a fiery speech planned, an indictment of the government and present administration. But the more mature and seasoned organizers voted it down because they didn't want to offend the Kennedy administration. In this present era, John Lewis, after being elected for 17 terms to the House of Representatives for Georgia's 5th District, became that voice that would not be shushed. He demanded your attention. He did not back down easily, but like Elijah Cummings, saw the necessity to form coalitions and work with those across the aisle. Yes, he was a thorn in the side of the Republican administrations. The lens from which he saw America gave him a mission to push back the laws that discriminated, as demonstrated by his early protests, the sit-ins at lunch counters, as a freedom rider, leader of SNCC, and the voting rights campaign that led to Bloody Sunday crossing the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. He continued to protest even while an elected official. He boycotted the inauguration of George W. Bush, saying he didn't believe he was the true elected president. Spoke to anti-war protesters before going to war with Iraq. Held a sit-in in the West Wing to advocate for immigration reform. And a sit-in on the House floor trying to bring a vote on gun control. Some of his quotes. When asked about finally having a black president, John Lewis replied bluntly, "If you ask me, if the election is the fulfillment of Dr. King's dream, I say no. It's just a down payment. There are still too many people that are being left out and left behind." As for the present administration, he says, in part, "Demagogues are pretty dangerous, and I don't see the president-elect as a legitimate president." No holding back there. one of Congressman Lewis's tributes to African Americans and a gift to all Americans is the National African American History and Cultural Museum. He also wrote several books, some geared to excite the young people to get in the way and have a passion for change. Barack Obama, in his eulogy for John Lewis, said the best way to honor and remember him was to call on Congress to pass the new voting rights bill and name it after Congressman Lewis. Also suggesting that voting day be a holiday so that all people, working or not, will be able to vote with ease. John Lewis said of his recent illness, "I have been in some kind of a fight for freedom, equality, and basic human rights for nearly my entire life. I have never faced a fight quite like the one I have now." His brother said, "He fought until the end. That was my big brother." Elijah Cummings, John Lewis, like other heroes fighting the good fight, had integrity, dignity, and a passion for righteous justice. Because of these two black men, I'm able to speak my mind in public and able to voice my discontent with our government without fear of a beating and being thrown in jail. My life would be very different if they had not stood up for my rights and fought to make sure my children and their children had a chance to freely give to society with good jobs and opportunities to be good citizens. A big thank you. Both Elijah Cummings and John Lewis believe that the journey toward racial equality and opportunity are far from complete. It's up to us now. Peace and blessings to you all, and I hope your heroes keep you inspired to be good citizens of the world. Namaste.
Thank you, Olivia Kinsler, for that tribute to two of your heroes. Your message reminds me of the importance of studying the people who we admire, the people who are doing the kind of good in the world that we want to be aligned with, and to try and make choices in the same way that they do, motivated by the same values that they are motivated by, or acting in the same way that they do, until all of it becomes normal for us to do the same. Here's an example of how to use our heroes, and we can call them role models if we like. This is how we can use them to guide us, and I invite you to do this with me right now. Ask yourself, who are my heroes? Or if you prefer, ask yourself, who inspires me or has inspired me? Who have you been moved by to live more authentically? And then think of something in your life right now that you may have a question about or that represents a difficulty you're facing, and then ask yourself, how would these people that I've been thinking about, how would they respond? For example, you might ask, what would Eleanor Roosevelt's attitude towards social injustice be? Or how would Mahatma Gandhi speak about violence as a pathway to freedom? Or how would Mother Teresa respond to the unsheltered in Sonoma County? Or what would Jesus say about the rise of white supremacy? Or how would Emma Curtis Hopkins respond to criticism? Now, you and I may not be aware of answers right away. Yet the questions themselves sow seeds in our deeper mind. The questions themselves help confirm and clarify our spiritual values as lived out by our heroes and role models. It's important to appreciate and admire people who lift up society and the planet and all sentient life. The word appreciate means to raise in value. And what becomes valuable to us, we cherish, and we are drawn to, and we are changed by. Now, this is one of the spiritual methods that we teach at the Center for Spiritual Living, Santa Rosa, in our classes. And the idea is that what you and I dwell on in our surface mind, well, that dwelling, that thinking about it in our surface mind, plants a seed in our deeper mind, and the deeper mind is what goes to work and embodies and embraces and draws us in. So the practice of appreciating and admiring our role models and considering the good they have birthed in the world is part of bringing about the change we desire to see. It's a wonderful method, and it's practiced by people of many different faith traditions. Hindus, for example, may model their lives after Rama and Sita and Krishna. Christians, for example, may model their lives after Jesus. And Jews may model their lives after Esther and Moses, for example, or Ruth. Who do you model your life after? Who are your heroes? It is time for us to have our offering. And so I want to thank everyone who has supported our center financially during this shelter-in-place time. Thank you for using our online portal for making donations. Thank you for sending in your checks. Why do I love the old-fashioned way of writing a check and sending it in? It's because I love, well, somehow I feel connected to the person on the other side. But I'm learning to adapt to online everything and feel the connection there too. I especially enjoy the notes that we receive. And if you stay through the end of today's broadcast, you'll see, as we do almost every week, you'll see a scrolling list of the comments we receive just from this week from people who write into us to thank the center for being the center for spiritual living in their lives. I invite you to think about the place that the center holds in your life, how it has touched you. I'm guessing by now you will have received our 4-pager newsletter that we mailed out in the regular U.S. mail to you. The leadership and staff decided that we wanted something to arrive at your home from your center. And we plan to do that every 3 months, I believe, and then in between we're going to send something else. Because our connection with each other is very important to me and to us. Please enjoy this music during the offering.
Everything I've ever seen
lost or won. And everything I've ever dreamed has brought me here to this present moment here, to a new beginning here, and I'm seeing life so clearly now. Get ready, my soul, I'm diving in. Get ready, my soul, I'm diving in to the deepest kind of love, to the sweetest kind of life. Get ready, get ready, my soul. 'Cause here I go, deeper, deeper, deeper than I've ever been before. Here I go, closer, closer, closer than I've ever been before. Here I go, deeper, deeper, deeper than I've ever been before. Here I go, closer, closer, closer to my sacred source. Get ready, my soul, I'm diving in. Get ready, my soul, I'm diving in to the deepest kind of love, to the sweetest kind of life. Get ready, get ready, my soul. Get ready, get ready, my soul.
It's now time for our community announcements, and I'm very excited to say that I am offering a new member class, a new member orientation on Sunday, August the 23rd, starting at 1 p.m. on Zoom. We haven't done this in a while because new member orientation is typically done in person where we can commune and get to know each other. But since this has been going on for a while, this shelter in place, and we know that there are people who are feeling the call, the interest to become, to have a closer relationship with the center, we are offering a new member orientation. So please go to our website and register. You don't have to become a member to take the class. In fact, if you are a member and you'd like a refresher about how things are done at the center, behind the scenes, in the leadership, through the staff, then come to the new member orientation on Sunday, August 23rd, starting at 1 p.m. Now, our online classes are also open for registration for the fall classes. Now, while I'm reading these announcements to you, I'm going to go right to our website and see what it is that is available for registration. Now, you know the address, www.cslsr.org. And wouldn't you know, there is a tab right there, menu item, for events and classes. And now I can click on classes and I can look at class schedule. It's right here on my screen, and it tells me what's coming up. And what is coming up that I'm excited about, obviously, is a class that I'm teaching along with four other teachers. Kathleen Kearney, who was here at the center before I even arrived. She was one of the movers and shakers of the leadership of the Center for Spiritual Living. So she knows a thing or two. And then we have Reverend Tara Steele, who you know as our community minister, who's done such a lot for bringing our community together and holding us together during Shelter in Place. Also, Dr. Kim Kaiser, who is one of our favorite teachers, and then Lawrence Edwards, a practitioner who you've heard right here on our Sunday messages. Now, the five of us together are teaching a class called Spiritual Principles and Practices. It takes place on Tuesdays, 10 a.m. starting in September 15. And this is a new class, a new introduction to the teaching of Science of Mind. It comes from our home office. So if you've done all of our classes and you'd like to see a repackaging of the teaching that you already know and love, or if you're brand new to Science of Mind, this is a great place to start. Reverend Ruth Barnard is teaching the Essential Ernest Holmes. This is a terrific class. It's based on a book, which is a collection of our founder's writings organized into topics. Beautiful. Reverend Tara is teaching visioning. And then Megan Rooney is teaching self-mastery. Self-mastery is a journey of inquiring into the self to discover, how is it that I came to think the way I think? And is what I'm thinking valid? Is it accurate? And where do I inherit my tendencies and values from? Beautiful class. And so there's a whole lot more. You know where to go. CSLSR.org and click on the classes and see the upcoming schedule. And if something calls to, or if you have a question, contact us and we'll be sure to answer that with you. Our weekly and monthly small groups continue. There's some highlights for you. We have a Sunday evening conversation. Practitioner Maggie Cole is facilitating tonight's conversation, and her topic is, you don't need an excuse to let go. That's open to everyone. This Wednesday night's wisdom, we're returning to Wednesday night wisdom. We're using the book by activist and civil rights attorney Valerie Kaur. And it's called See No Stranger, that's right. And it begins at 7 p.m. And one of the best ways to build connection and friendship is, well, to be part of a small group. You know, every spiritual organization of any size, its strength is in the connection between the people. And most spiritual organizations, as they grow, have to have small groups, in-home groups. And we were just about to launch that when Shelter in Place came along. But we're doing it virtually and with terrific responses. We call them Circles for Spiritual Connection. And these are free weekly groups that meet on Zoom to share reflections. We talk about the Sunday message. Talk about spiritual principles and how they translate into daily life. And a new series of circle meetings is about to begin soon. And guess where you will find the information for that. Now this afternoon, our group called Being and Belonging, that group was formerly called Diversity Inclusion Group, and this is an evolution. Being and Belonging is the act of including diversity into our concepts and thinking. And they are going on with the conversation that Olivia Kinsler began with her talk, honoring Elijah Cummings and John Lewis. They're going to carry on talking about that. And the participants will listen to the essay that Congressman Lewis asked to be published on the day of his funeral, and to be inspired by those words. That group meets today at 1:30 p.m. in the afternoon. Everyone is welcome. There is prayer after every service by trained prayer practitioner. Three, confidential, personal, private. So if there's something incomplete in you, or if you cried yourself to sleep last night, please do not go home without exiting this broadcast and going to our after service prayer. It's a separate Zoom number, and you can access that information on our web. You will be met by a host, and in a waiting room, you'll wait until a practitioner is available to you. It goes very quickly, and they will pray with you. And now we have a message from a member of our Giving Intention team.
Hi, I'm Jan Davis, a member of your Giving Intention team. In 2004, our team started the nonprofit program, inviting 12 nonprofits to partner with us during the year, and each month having one of them come speak to us. I did the math. By the end of this year, we'll have had 204 stories from agencies who share our values and do good work in the world. Our nonprofit partner program is particularly powerful because you nominate nonprofits that you know, that you've supported or worked with or benefited from their services. If you have a nonprofit that's close to your heart, nominate them to be one of our 2021 nonprofit partners. This year, we're particularly hoping to find organizations that focus on racial equality and social justice. You'll find the link for the nomination form on our website, www.cslsr.org. Look in the yellow band, click on Sunday links. Nominations are due by Monday, August 31. Thank you so much.
And now please say these words with me. If they are not yet familiar to you, if you hang around with us for a while, you'll soon be remembering them very easily. Something wonderful is happening through me right now. It is this thing called life. Life is in my mind, life is in my body, and life is in my affairs. I think it, I feel it, and I accept it. Just the way that it is, and just the way that it is not. Thank you, life. Know with me that you are never alone, that spirit is right where you are, that you have only to look within at any moment, to know that you are guided, sustained, and empowered by a presence that expresses its love through your love in this world. In deepest gratitude, let us live our lives accordingly, so that in everything that we do and say and think, that we honor this love within. And so it is. I'll see you again next week.
I'm reaching out to feel the infinite. I'm reaching out to know the divine. I'm reaching out to feel the infinite. Yeah, forever is already mine. I'm reaching out to feel the infinite. I'm reaching out to know the divine. I'm reaching out to feel the infinite. Yeah, forever is already mine. I'm already there. I'm already home. I'm already safe in my eternal soul. I'm already there. I'm already home. I'm already safe in my eternal soul. I'm going deep to feel the infinite. I'm going deep to know the divine. I'm going deep to feel the infinite. Yeah, forever is already mine. I'm already there. I'm already home. I'm already safe in my eternal soul. I'm already there. I'm already home. I'm already safe in my eternal soul.
I'm rising up to feel the infinite. Yeah, forever is already mine. I'm already there. I'm already home. I'm already safe in my eternity.